Welcome to the Well Woman Show, where we interview women executives, leaders, and entrepreneurs.
And you're listening to the Well Woman Show,
where motivated women achieve fulfillment and well-being.
You're listening to the Well Woman Show.
Take time for myself by coming to things like Well Woman Drinks.
To be accepting of myself no matter what. Step away from judgment as much as possible.
You're listening to the Well Women Show.
You're going to be in for a good ride. I don't regret anything. Everything I've ever done, I've learned from it, one way or another, good or bad.
Being a little bit selfish for yourself, you know, put your own oxygen mask on first and then give what's left.
I'm a woman. I would prefer to tell my own story. My story, though it's very personal, is universal.
You're listening to the Well Woman Show. And now your host, Giovanna Rossi.
Hi, Giovanna Rossi here, and welcome to another episode of The Well Woman Show, where I interview women leaders, executives, and entrepreneurs about their lives and their road to becoming and being who they are today. Do you ever find yourself overwhelmed with your responsibilities, and it seems like you'll never get it all done? Well, you're not alone. We all need to remember to use our superpowers, the ones we already have but don't use all the time, and take advice and wisdom from one another. Towards the end of the show, in a segment called Superpowers for Success, I ask my guest about her superpowers, and the answers will give you the strength, perspective, and power to keep on being the well woman you are. I'm so happy you're here, so thanks for tuning in. Today's topic is how to find inspiration in life's biggest challenges, and hopefully by the end of the show, you'll be inspired to see hardship as a source of growth, discover how helping others can help you, and use your challenges to propel you forward. My guest today is Women2Be founder Christine Glidden. Women2Be is a nonprofit that aims to provide women with limited resources with underwear and menstrual products so they can be healthy and independent. Christine is a member of the Board of Trustees of the University of New Mexico Hospital and has worked as an honorary commander with Kirtland Air Force Base. In 2015, Christine was awarded the Service Above Self Award from the Rotary Club. The award is given to people who exemplify the term, be a gift to the world. Today, I speak with Christine about how her cancer diagnosis dramatically transformed her life, how she was able to find hope and inspiration after the diagnosis, and what she does today to impact the world. The free giveaway today is the 4 steps to living a well woman life, and you can get it at wellwomanlife.com/035show. Now to my interview with Christine. I am so excited to talk to Christine Glidden this morning of Women2Be. Welcome to the program, Christine.
Well, thank you so much, Giovanna. Got so much to tell and so much to talk about, so thanks for having me.
Yes, well, let's start with... I know, you know, from our intro, we know sort of a little bit about your background, but I really want to get right into a kind of a summary of who you are and what your commitment is to women's well-being.
Well, I'm definitely committed to my own well-being. I'm a triathlete. I have done over 140 endurance events. I've been Southwest Triathlon champion. And I feel like I try to communicate the importance of health and movement to nearly everyone I meet.
And how do you do that?
Mostly by demonstration. So I feel like it's more attraction as opposed to promotion. I go to the gym a lot. I invite women, especially women, to come with me on bike rides or runs and even offer to introduce them to the sport of triathlon.
Oh, that's so interesting. I actually just did my first triathlon a couple of years ago now, a year and a half ago, and it's something I thought I would never in a million years do.
Well, and so my challenge to you, Giovanna, is I'll give you the schedule, you pick out the one you want to do, and we'll do it together. How's that?
That sounds good. And Christine, what in your own personal health and well-being has made you want to pursue this path of Women2Be?
Well, I was living the dream. I had family and friends who I loved and loved me. I had work that I enjoyed. I was doing triathlon, and all of a sudden, wham, out of a clear blue sky, my right breast was diagnosed with cancer. It was pretty painful for me to think about that, especially in view of the fact that my mother had died from breast cancer years ago. But once I kind of settled into the idea, I decided very consciously that breast cancer for me was going to be an inconvenience and not a problem. And once I kind of got to that mindset, things really calmed down, and I decided that the only thing I was going to do during my treatment period was to surround myself with people who made me happy and peaceful, places that I went would make me happy and peaceful, and things I did would make me happy and peaceful. So I really closed down a lot of things that I was doing.
Like what? Now that's so interesting, because sometimes it takes something like that for us to realize that we have to really make some changes in our life.
Well, you know, being in that state of mind of being happy and peaceful can be kind of selfish, because I decided that everything that I kind of didn't want to do, I didn't. And so those responsibilities fell to others. But I decided.
Like what?
Oh, gosh.
Examples.
Even just cleaning the house or doing something work-related, although I pretty much stopped work.
Were you at a point where you could quit your job? Or what did you do to stop work?
Well, I was working part-time. I've had a career of 34 years or something or other doing something, originally in psychotherapy, and then secondly, I joined my husband in his business. So I was kind of semi-retired. And so I had the luxury of being able to do this, and I know not every woman does.
And so what? So you made these big changes, and how did that help you heal?
Well, just the peacefulness of everything, and again, seeing this as an inconvenience, doing things that I wouldn't normally do, frankly, that I didn't want to do, but just doing them and being okay, accepting them. At the end of my treatment, which is really kind of like 2 years ago, almost to the day, my life really opened up for me. And I said to myself, you know, I had a dream that I was living before breast cancer, but I knew that I wanted to live a new dream, and I didn't know what that dream was going to be. But I thought, you know what? If I remain in peace and be observant, something will show up. And I didn't know what it was, but this project that I've started is the thing that showed up.
How did it show up, and how did you recognize it?
Oh, it was easy to recognize. I have a friend whose name is Dukha. She lived in the Nepali refugee camps, and she came to the United States about 5-6 years ago when I met her. And through those years, she told me pretty much everything about how life was in the refugee camp, which you can imagine was just like brutal and just a desperate way of living. So after my treatment, I happened to have tea with her, and we were just talking, and kind of casually she says to me, you know what? One of the things that was so hard in the refugee camp is that none of the girls, including myself, or women for that matter, had underwear or sanitary pads. And I was stunned. I kind of knew that that was true, but I never really took it to heart, and I never knew anyone for whom this had happened. So finding the thing that I knew was going to show up was easy, because in my heart, I had this conviction that this was who I would be in the future.
Hmm. And where did you meet your friend when she came here? How did you meet her?
Just through a friend of mine, actually, who was already trying to help her acclimate and find a way to be here, both financially, culturally, and really in all ways.
We'll get back to the work of Women to Be. I just want to ask you, are you still involved in helping women refugees from different countries, you know, as they come to Albuquerque?
No, so the women that I'm helping are had been in the Nepali refugee camp itself, where Dukha had lived all of those years, 17 years. So that was my first target for my project, and now I have changed the target of my project to another population of women in still in Nepal who live in a very remote and very, very poor region that was devastated by the recent earthquakes.
Okay, so tell me more about the kits that you provide these women and why it's so important that they have these.
Well, a kit is a contains feminine hygiene products. It was designed by another nonprofit called Days for Girls. A kit contains 2 pair of underwear, 8 sanitary pads, and 2 what we call shields that are waterproof barriers with snaps that snap around the base of the underwear. It also comes with a washcloth and a couple of Ziploc bags.
I just want to point out because I'm looking at them right now, and they are the 8 pads are reusable. They're cloth. They're beautiful. But they're reusable.
So. Yes, and so they're sewn right now by volunteers here in Albuquerque who sew selflessly and consistently for this project. The kits are usable and reusable, actually, up to a period of 3 years. And so there's nothing to throw away, typically in places where there's no place to throw it anyway. The way that this works then is girls have their underwear. And by the way, I can't imagine. Sometimes I do presentations like this and I hold up a pair of underwear and I say, can you imagine, ladies, can you imagine never having seen a pair of underwear? And it's just shocking. So they get the underwear and they get the pads. And there's a method for them to change out the pads during the day as they need to, and replace them with clean pads so that at the end of the day in the Ziploc bags, they're able to wash everything out, dry it, and then start again the next day.
Why is it so important for women and young women to have access to these?
Yeah. So this is it. Like, this is the whole point of the project. Girls who live without underwear and pads are open to chronic infection. They miss school 3 to 5 days a month, every month, every month, every month. And because of that, fall behind or perhaps have an accident at school, which is very embarrassing. And so some girls, too often many of them, drop out of school. And especially in that culture, age 14, 15, 16, whatever, they immediately become marriage material. Of course, once they're married, they have babies every year, which is fine, except in that environment in particular, it's not a necessarily baby-friendly region of the planet. So these women then, as they become women, are kind of relegated to a sentence of dependence and indignity. I just can't imagine that. And so research shows, and my experience shows me, that when a girl has underwear and pads, she avoids infection. She's able to stay in school, learn a skill. She delays marriage by 4 years, has 2 fewer children in her lifetime. And when she gets to an age, I mean, she can care for herself. She can care for her family. If her husband or whomever disappears or is somehow no longer available, she's okay because she can do it herself. She becomes an economic driver of the community, of the culture. She boosts her income by 20 to 25%. And she lives in with dignity. She has what she needs. She lives fully without embarrassment or fear of embarrassment. And so for me, those are all the reasons. These women become powerful. They stand up against domestic violence. You know, in their villages, they promote peace as opposed to war. They negotiate and they show how it's done. You give a woman a chance and she will take over. And when they have pads and underwear, they have the opportunity to do so.
Yeah, it's amazing how something so basic that many people take for granted is such a foundation for being confident and, you know, having your voice and holding your power in your life. Can you give an example of a particular woman that whose life has been impacted?
Yes, I can. A friend of Duca's who I met was training before the exodus in 1992 from Bhutan to Nepal, where that's how these camps were created. She was training as a medical professional. She was forced with herself, her family, and 100,000 other people into the camps. She had no underwear pads like everybody else. She unfortunately, unlike Duca, was forced to leave school. She eventually was relocated to New York. It took her 1 year, a year, before she even realized that there were products dedicated to taking care of oneself during one's menstrual cycle. And she talks about just the devastation of her life, how her life changed from the other girls. And again, I'm not exactly sure why some girls are able to stay in. Maybe it's the parents. I don't know. But she just talks about the helplessness and the hopelessness and always being kind of one step behind, never keeping up, and just being embarrassed, not only about having her menstrual cycle, but just embarrassed that she couldn't maintain herself, her membership in the school system.
Christine, how did you start the nonprofit? Did you have any background in starting a nonprofit, and was that a big challenge?
It was a major challenge. I had no idea what I was doing. I had an idea that I got from Duca. And I'll also tell you that when I knew that I was going to be looking for the new dream life that I knew was coming, but I didn't know in what form it would be, I said, you know what? Here's your chance. Don't do the predictable. Don't default to what you know. Do something unpredictable. And I thought about that word, unpredictable, and I said, nope, unpredictable is not even good enough. I want to be shocking. I want to shock myself. I want to shock the people around me. And so I had this thread of an idea about this whole thing about Duca didn't have pads and underwear, and I did the red-blooded American thing, and I started Googling. I came across lots of information, lots of people. I came across Days for Girls, and I said, okay, that's it. I'm going to make those Days for Girls kits. And I signed up on their as a member of their nonprofit. And within, I don't know, 2-3 weeks, I got an email from a lady. And she says, listen, I've been sewing kits for years, but I never have anybody to take them over someplace to give them to the women and girls who deserve them. Would you take my kits? And, I, you know, there's the answer. It just showed up like that. Mm-hmm. So originally, it was very lonely doing this. I felt very isolated. But just as I moved forward, and now here we are, not even 2 years later, and we are a 501c3, we have people, powerful, capable, exceptional people showing up because this concept, especially for women, is undeniable. It's compelling. And so now instead of, I used to call myself the grassroots, now we are a formal organization with different people doing different things in their skill area, uniting to make a full effort to get this thing done. So last year, I took 380 kits to Duca's refugee camp and gave them out. I can tell you it was an experience which kind of ran the gamut from pretty desperate to real joy when the girls were able to receive their kits. And then while I was in Nepal, I did a 2-week trek through this place called the Kingdom of Mustang, Mustang, like Mustang, high in the Himalayas, in the Annapurna region, Dalagiri region of the Himalayas. These people, Mustang borders Tibet, and so they're more Tibetan than they are Nepali. They speak the Tibetan language, they eat Tibetan food, and they're very, very remote because it wasn't until 1991, I believe, that the Tibetan government allowed them to open their borders. And even now, you need a permit, you need a qualified, acceptable guide, and you can only stay for 2 weeks or less.
And so, this is where you delivered?
No.
Some, oh.
So last year I delivered them to their refugee camp, but coming up next April in 2016, I want to take 1,000 kits to Mustang, and in Kathmandu, I want to establish a school and a business so that girls and women can learn to sew. Women will be paid a fair wage for their work, all because right now I'm getting sponsors, we're having a fundraiser, we're getting Facebook likes. And so as we gain recognition and visibility, we're also going to be gaining funds and with grants too, to propel this thing so that women over there, especially after the earthquakes, are given a chance to form their lives in a way that provides them health and confidence and, again, integrity.
Okay. And, Christine, if people want to help you, what can they do? I mean, you need people to sew kits, it sounds like. What else can people do, and how do they contact you?
So really there are two other ways. One would be to just simply get on my Facebook page, which is Facebook.com/women, W-O-M-E-N, 2, T-O-B-E, and invite and share, please, and like that website, that Facebook page. And then to get on my website page, which is a little bit different address from the Facebook page, which is www.women, W-O-M-E-N, and then the digit, the number 2, B-E.org. So one is T-O, and the second one, the website, is the number 2.
Okay. And Christine, we're headed into the segment called Superpowers for Success. And so we've heard about what you're doing and about women-to-be, and now we're going to hear more about you personally and how you do all the things you do. So the first question is, what does success in life mean for you now that you're doing this and in your life right now? What does success mean to you?
The ability to stay on the edge, the willingness to step into the unknown, into the chaos, identifying one's generosity and conviction and acting on it. Because I don't care how much you think about it, I don't care how much you believe in it, if you're not in action every moment, you're losing life. So coming at things fully aware, joining with other people in relationship, like-minded people, and I guess at the end of the day, showing appreciation for all of the things that have happened that day.
And do you think that edginess or that you described happened for you because of the breast cancer diagnosis?
I think that's part of it, but frankly, really, I think I've just been on this planet long enough where you finally get a lot of this stuff just because it's unavoidable. But yes, I think I've been growing in a certain direction, and then all of a sudden, everything kind of coalesced for me around the breast cancer thing.
And when did you know you're really good at what you do?
What do I do?
Sounds like you are a mover and shaker and you make things happen. You probably have done that all your whole career, and maybe you haven't thought of it that way, but you've done different things throughout your career. But at some point, did you know in your heart, in your gut, that you were really good at what you do?
I guess I'm good at what I do, but let me tell you, I'm just getting started. I am going to grow this thing. I'm going to grow myself. I'm going to grow with the people around me. So I'm, you know, I see this thing as a limitless possibility, and I'm along for the ride.
Okay, work in progress. Christine, describe one personal habit that contributes to your well-being.
Gosh, that contributes to my well-being. I guess my mind goes immediately to what I do athletically.
So do you work out every day?
Pretty much. I usually take one day off completely, but sometimes I'll work out twice a day. I am slug slow, but I feel like an antelope when I run. I'm much better on the bike. I don't swim very much. I love the competition, but I do the competition because I love the training, and the training puts me in a position where I can do the competition. So I've really drifted from your question, which was,
just one personal habit. I think you answered it with the exercising.
Well, discipline. Discipline and love of movement. Hmm. That's about it, right there.
And what superpower did you discover you had only to realize it was there all the time?
Gosh, that was there all the time. I guess my confidence in myself. It was there all the time, and it would demonstrate itself, except it was transparent to me because I would kind of, I don't know, doubt myself or more think about what I hadn't done well or how I could have done things better. But I did have the confidence, and now I know it, and it feels really good to see it and watch it happen.
And Christine, what advice would you give your 25 or 30-year-old self?
Well, actually, I have a 30-year-old daughter. And what advice would I give her? Gosh.
Well, what would you give yourself? Think about yourself at that age.
It gets better. Look for the right people. I know, this is it. Act as if. Act as if the dream was going to happen tomorrow. Act as if you were everything you wanted to be. Act as if you had all the people in your life that you needed, and then do the thing that puts you on the edge and makes you stay there.
That's great. You know, it's so interesting, this question, and I like your answer. I want to ask you, you're addressing sort of how does one, you know, do the thing that they want to do and find that confidence and just go for it. But what about the folks who are still looking for that thing that they want to do? And we touched on it earlier in terms of recognizing the thing and being open to it and being able to receive it. But do you have any comments about that? About like, when does that happen for someone, or is it always happening and we just receive it at certain times of our lives?
I guess in a way it's always happening, but here's the deal. I think every single one of us knows what we want. It's not a mystery. We may avoid thinking about it because it feels kind of scary, but we know what it is. There is never a good time to step out and make it happen. You will always find a reason why now is not a good idea, or the situation's not the right time, or my family situation, or whatever it is. It's just not the right time. But I'm going to do it. Well, forget that. You know, you could live like that for the rest of your life. Take it on. Just fully accept it into your life. Make the next step. Don't talk about it. Be in action. I guess I just go back to that, to be in action about what you want for yourself and what you want for the planet and just take the next step. Just take the next step, just the next one, and promise yourself that tomorrow you'll take the next one.
Thank you. I've been speaking with Christine Glidden of Women to Be. Thank you so much for being on the program.
Well, you know, I'm excited now. You know, I've got myself all revved up to do something wonderful today, and I'm not sure what it's going to be exactly, but it is. It's going to be great.
Thank you. That's it for our show today. I've been speaking with Women to Be founder Christine Glidden. Women to Be is a nonprofit that aims to provide women with limited resources with underwear and menstrual products so they can lead independent lives. I spoke with Christine about the challenges she has to face and how she has overcome them, how she takes care of herself, and how she found a way to help women around the world. You can get the free giveaway today at wellwomanlife.com/035show. Our monthly live event, Well Woman Drinks, brings together women to share our successes and challenges as leaders, moms, aunts, sisters, and all the other roles we carry. If you'd like to attend a Well Woman Drinks near you, or if there isn't one in your city yet and you'd like to start one, email me at info@wellwomanlife.com. If you enjoyed the show, please take a moment and subscribe in iTunes. And while you're there, leave a review. This helps raise visibility for the show, which is super helpful when it comes to producing the show every week for you. You can also continue the conversation in the Well Woman Life community group at facebook.com/groups/wellwomanlifecommunity. For feedback, comments, or just to let me know you were listening today, find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Well Woman Life. I'm Giovanna Rossi for The Well Woman Show. Until next time, have a super powerful week.